Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Caps got the win last night. TJ Oshie with an empty net goal in a tie game. It was kind of an odd final few minutes in Philadelphia, but the Caps have really put it together here over the last couple of months, especially over the weekend and last night. They are going to face the New York Rangers in the first round of the NHL playoffs. Chris Russell, who hosts the show right after mine, sometimes solo, sometimes with Doc, sometimes with Linnell, but 1-4 right here, as most of you know, on the Team 980. So Rooster jumps on with us. We'll talk football here in a moment, but you know hockey. It's a passion of yours. It was kind of an odd ending last night. I mean, maybe this has happened. You would know, end of regular season, have to win in regulation, but a tie game in an empty net was an odd circumstance. As it turns out, by the way, they didn't need to do it because Detroit had already forced overtime and eliminated Philadelphia. They just didn't know it.
Yeah, good afternoon, Kev. Thanks for having me. I don't remember a situation like that. I mean, vaguely, maybe there was one, but it was a long time ago and I haven't had time to research it, so maybe I'm missing one. But to your point, right, and I didn't, honestly, here's where I screwed up. There were so many different scenarios besides just win and in for the Capitals, which we all understood, and win of any sort, whatever, and they could have gone to overtime and won there and all that and still made the playoffs. There were so many different scenarios that I thought the Flyers simply had to
win. Why did you say it that way?
Well, because
you and I both say it the same way and nobody else does.
It's my tribute to you every day, especially when Doc is with me. We talk about a lot of scenarios.
Yeah. I don't think we're the only people, but go ahead.
Well, you have made scenario famous in my eyes. Anyway,
well, I had all of the playoff scenarios down before that game last night.
So
I knew exactly what needed to happen.
I didn't, from Philadelphia's perspective. I knew Philadelphia had to win in regulation. So
came down to the sixth tiebreaker,
right? But what I didn't know was that if Detroit got a point, which they did with 3 seconds left, that Philadelphia was out before they ultimately made that decision. And I know it kind of happened all in the same time window, and I was going back and forth. I had an NFL coach texting me last night, okay? He was like, hey, man, turn on ESPN. Don't just watch the Caps. He's like, Detroit and Montreal are going at it, and they had gone at it the night before, and that game.
What NFL coach texted you to switch channels to the ESPN.
I'm telling you, it's a coach that you would remember. Let's just put it that way, okay?
Was it your guy? Was it Hazlitt?
No, it was not him.
Okay.
No.
Was it Danny Smith?
No, it was not him. You're in sort of the same neighborhood. I'll just leave.
Yeah,
it
I
at
know
that.
I am.
But anyway,
it was when you were out there.
Right. Well, yeah, but I mean, I did span a couple of different coaches and people that
I paid attention to the one when you were here.
but anyway, the bottom line is, right, maybe Tortorella obviously didn't have to do what he did, which then TJ Oshie immediately capitalized. But let's not take away credit. And I've heard you a lot this morning. I haven't heard everything that you've said. I don't think you're doing this. I don't know how many people are doing this locally, but I think the sentiment that I have, the feeling that I have nationally is, oh, the Capitals are lucky. Oh, they wouldn't have won that. Oh, they wouldn't have made the playoffs if Torts didn't pull the goaltender. First of all, they could have, again, won in overtime. They could have won in a shootout, number one. They could have even gotten in, depending on certain other circumstances. Now, they would have needed a lot of help. So let's not just chalk this up to the Capitals only clinching a playoff spot because Tortorella is a dumbass. And I dispute that, just that assertion alone. Never
mind
that the
Caps only made it. Well, they had to win a regulation game. It was their best chance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was very much aware of that scenario. I was not aware of the other situation where if Detroit got a point that eliminated Philadelphia, even if Philadelphia won in ultimately regulation. You see where I'm
at. So tell me this. Mm-hmm. Goalie is really important this time of year, and the Caps have a hot goaltender right now.
Yep.
Describe how hot Charlie Lindgren is and how good he is right now. And do you think it gives them a fighting chance against the Rangers?
Yes, I do. They usually play the Rangers pretty well, and they did this year. And I believe he authored a 2-0 shutout. I'd have to double check that to make sure it was Charlie Lindgren. But I believe that was the case earlier this year. I think Lindgren, the thing about him that jumps out to me, and maybe I'm not right about this with all the analytics and the statistics, it does not seem like he gives up a lot of juicy rebounds. And that is something that you see a lot of goaltenders, especially younger goaltenders. And Charlie's not young. I mean, he's inexperienced by and large because he's always been a backup, and hadn't really gotten a starting opportunity until, you know, the last third or whatever of this year. But I don't sense him giving up a lot of juicy rebounds, which then leads to dirty goals and a lot of bang-bang type goals that your defense and sometimes your goaltending can't even do anything about. I think he sees the puck pretty well. I don't think he has a major flaw, Kev. It's not like, shoot here and he's, I've seen goaltenders that if you shoot at their glove side and shoot high and get it on net, they are going to give up a goal. That's not Charlie Lindgren. I mean, he made a glove save and then some, I think it was Saturday against Tampa. It just, just like Ricky Henderson style with the snatch of the glove that was going in, right? That's not Charlie Lindgren. So to me, as long as I think he maintains, as long as he's not worn out completely, I think Charlie Lindgren is going to give them a chance. The one guy, there's more guys than one, but the guy that I worry about that consistently has given Washington problems over the years from the Rangers is Mika Zibanejad. I mean, they have other guys, Artemi Panera and the Breadman and all that stuff. They have other guys. But Mika Zibanejad has always given the Capitals problems over the years. And the Capitals have had this, weird history in the playoffs since winning the Cup of giving up, 9 goals in a 5-game series to Carter Verhaeghe,
Right.
And I wonder and I worry about that. But I do think they have an absolute chance.
I mean, it's the NHL playoffs. Yep. I mean, it's completely unpredictable,
and we've seen
this happen a lot.
Yep. You started the show saying that, and you're right.
Watching Ovechkin last night celebrate, and then the big smile on his face when he was sitting there during the last few seconds, watching him walk into the locker room, seeing him interviewed. I don't know. I get this feeling like this was super important for the franchise, super important for him. Not that he's not coming back next year to chase down Gretzky, but you just never know. I mean, this could be the last playoff, swan song. I know the team's younger and they're getting better, but I was excited about that.
Yeah,
let's talk some.
Yeah, no. nobody gave Florida a chance last year against Boston, which was a juggernaut in the regular season, won the President's Trophy, all that stuff. Nobody gave Florida the 8 seed a chance, and they won. You know,
I think so, I asked Greg Wyshynski this yesterday, and I'll ask you. Is New York this year better than Boston was last year?
I don't think they are based on what I've seen, but it's not like a wide gap or anything like that. I think the Rangers are pretty damn good. I just think that the Capitals match up a little bit better. They would match up better with Boston than they do the Rangers because it's too physical, kind of grinded out, more style teams. Not to say that Boston just is that, but that's more their style. The Rangers have a little more speed and transition than the Bruins, but I think the Bruins were a little bit deeper overall roster, to, you know, top to bottom of the roster last year, and yet they lost in a seventh game in overtime at home to the Panthers, the eighth seed.
All right, looking forward to the series. It starts this weekend. We don't have a game one time or date yet, do we?
I have not seen anything yet, but I would imagine.
This is going to be a series that gets a lot of national TV games, Chris, don't you think?
I agree. I would think Saturday evening, 7:30 ABC is my guess for game one, but I don't know that.
All right. So who do you want them to draft next Thursday night, and who do you think they'll draft at number two next Thursday night?
All right, so we're going to differ on this. I know you want Jaden. Over the weekend, I had been leaning towards Jaden most of the way, and I even said back in mid-January I'd take Jaden over, and this was without doing any homework, I'd take Jaden over Drake May or Caleb Williams. I said that back in mid-January, and everybody just harpooned me. As I dug into it, and you know, I'm watching TV cut-ups, I think just like you. I'm not watching coaches' tape. I'm not doing any of that stuff. But I'm watching a bunch, and I've seen a lot of these guys. I came finally to the realization this weekend that the guy with still, for me, the higher upside, and I don't know if he can quite get there, is Drake May. So I'm going to go with Drake May based on size, arm strength, higher upside, less experience, meaning I think he has the work ethic and the personality and the family history and the everything, the moxie, if you will, to grow and get better, just like Jaden Daniels did. We kind of discount the fact that Jaden Daniels is 23 and a half. And Drake May is 21 and a half, right? We kind of discount that. Oh, Drake May can't get any better than this. Sure, you know what, he can. Now, that's not to say Jaden can't get better. Jaden can get better, and Jaden did get a lot better this year. Kevin, I come back to this. Either I'm missing something, or maybe I'm not. I don't know. PFF, Dane Brugler, and 33rd team, all three of them had Drake May is QB2 over Jaden Daniels, QB3, and two of the three, PFF and I think it was 33rd team, which is all coaches and executives, had Jaden Daniels out of the top 20 in terms of their overall big board prospects. Not that that's like a huge deal, but it is a little bit concerning, right? And some of the criticisms of Drake May is footwork and pocket awareness and all that. What I've seen, and the people that I've talked to, and I know you've talked to a ton of people, is people do feel those are correctable. And I didn't think they were enormous gaping problems on every throw, every drop, every game, every series, all that. I just thought, you know, it did come up. I'm not denying that it didn't come up. I noticed it more, I think, in the Syracuse, starting with the Syracuse, or maybe it was the Miami game this year, and it got progressively worse. So I would say, like, Drake May's got a lot to work on, and I don't know if he would be ready for week one, but I'm still slightly leaning towards him. And it's not a big gap or anything like that.
Look, I don't think there's, for us, there's a wrong answer here, especially when we're talking about, you know, those two, because I think they're close. I actually think Daniels is closer to Williams than maybe May is to Daniels, but I get it. I get the arguments for and against all of these guys, but who do you think they'll take?
I do think they'll ultimately take Jaden Daniels. So
why do you think they'll ultimately take Jaden Daniels?
Maybe this is me being guilty of listening to every NFL insider in the world that says all, you know, including our guy Schefter, who, you know, I know you talk to, I obviously I talk to. you know, and what he said publicly and, you know, privately and whatever. I mean, every, you know, again, Albert, I think it was Albert Breer, all signs point to, you know, this people. Oh, Peter Schrager, who is supposedly very close to Cliff Kingsbury, said, I think it was this morning or maybe it was yesterday on Rich Eisen's show, people inside the building. This was the first reference I heard to people inside the building. Schrager noted that. He said, talking to people around the league, executives, coaches, whatnot, they all expect, he qualified and said, and people inside the building. And he's supposedly very close with Cliff Kingsbury. And he said, Jaden Daniels. So again, maybe I'm reading the tea leaves a little bit too much. The other thing is, I wonder, for, I mean, listen, we know it's not Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen and trying to sell tickets and jerseys as the is the number one thing.
Right.
But you and I are smart enough to know that Josh Harris wants to make money and he wants to sell tickets and he wants to sell a Commander's jersey, logo, apparel, paraphernalia that a lot of people aren't buying because they hate the name. And I know we differ on that, but they, so to me, I do wonder if they lean towards the, A, the more pro-ready quarterback right now, the more exciting prospect, the one that gets his fan base, his customer base, in an absolute lather. I think fans would be disappointed by Drake May and or certainly J.J. McCarthy. So I think it's Jaden Daniels. I hope, but again, it's not a huge hope. It's not like, oh my God, I hate Jaden Daniels. Not by any means. I hope it's Drake May.
I don't think that, I think there'd be maybe a slight difference between Daniels and May in terms of fan reaction and merch, et cetera.
Really?
I think you're right. I think most people who watch college football would be surprised if J.J. McCarthy's at number two. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of goodwill right now out there and a lot of belief in something that isn't Dan that they'll be able to sell whomever they take. I just hope that they don't make a decision based on any of the things that we just talked about.
I agree with you.
Only about the guy that they think they'll win the most with.
Well, is that but is that J.J. McCarthy? Yeah. Because that's what he is. You know, like I had a coach that knows Dan Quinn very, 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 very well. Okay. And 2 weeks ago, unsolicited, maybe it was 3 weeks ago, I can't remember, just unsolicited, said, hey, you know, and the J.J. McCarthy stuff had already come out, like they had met with him, but it was after they met for dinner with J.J. and Ann Arbor, and they said, watch out for this guy. And I've kind of sort of dismissed, not dismissed it, but kind of backed off. I think I did the numbers. He averaged like, I think it was 17 pass attempts in his 40 or so college games. I think I did the math, and if I did the math right, I'm just pulling it up. 17.8 passing attempts in his 40-some-odd college games, including the playoff games, including the big games against, you know, TCU, Alabama. You remember that,
right,
how he carved up Ohio State and Columbus. I know you know this. You watch more college football than anybody alive on planet Earth. But, I mean, he can be a big-time performer in big-time spots. I just don't know if you ask him to do it 30, 35 times a game on average.
Yeah, we don't know.
He hasn't done that.
Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. All right. Who's on with you?
Linnell is today, and we're going to have Zach Kruger from Roto World, who is a local guy and who's done a lot of this analytical type stuff on the quarterbacks in terms of wide open targets and wide open percentage, and of course the pressure to sack ratio, which I know you've talked about with some of your guests and on the show and whatnot. We're going to have Zach Kruger and might have somebody else, not sure yet.
All right, good job. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Kev. Appreciate you.
Chris Russell, Linnell coming up at the top of the hour.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.